DW, the 77%.
Wonder Woman, Wonder Woman, oh, Superwoman in the building, we on fire, Wonder Woman.
It's the show that gives you a chance to be part of the debate shaping the African continent. Hello and welcome to the 77%. I'm Eunice Wanjiru.
And I'm Crispin Mwakideo. On this week's show, we are asking the question, are women less corrupt than men? This comes after Ethiopia's parliament last Tuesday approved the appointment of 20 ministers, with women also making up half of the cabinet.
And Ethiopia's Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed went on to say that women are considered to be less corrupt than men. Is that really so? We'll get to hear what different people across Africa think. And you can also be part of that debate by visiting our Facebook page, DW Africa.
Stay tuned for these and more coming up right here on the 77%.
Superwoman in the building, we on fire. Raise your hand if you are the shooter. And you know, say you are girl on fire. Hey, speak your mind if you are the shooter. And you know, say you like a girl on fire.
Last Tuesday, Ethiopia's Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed announced a political reshuffle in which women ministers now make up a record 50% of the new cabinet. The newly downsized 20-member cabinet has got women taking on major portfolios, including the appointment of Aisha Mohammed as the new Minister of National Defence. She is the first woman to hold the position.
Speaking to Parliament, Prime Minister Abiy emphasised the role of women during times of crisis in Ethiopia when explaining his decision to overhaul the cabinet. Let's listen to some of what he had to say.
During the crisis, with the exception of a small percentage, the role of women to stabilize and take the country forward was immense. Their role was even more important than the military. In comparison to men, they are considered to be less corrupt. They respect their work. They can work hard and pursue the reforms we have already started. That's why women now make up 50% of the cabinet. In line with our party's recent decision, women's contribution towards the process of legislation, enforcement, and the democratic institution should be strengthened.
Ethiopia's Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed speaking. And to follow up on that, I spoke to Azeb Tadese from DW's Amharic department and wanted to find out whether she thought this was a groundbreaking move in Ethiopia.
Yes, it's good. In our culture, we undermine women. We give a big position for men. Even we women do not agree that we have an abilities than men. And it's because of our culture. And I'm very happy to hear that half of these ministers are women and they got a big position. I do hope that they have ability to do or to move that country.
Well, I also hope that. Would you agree with the Prime Minister that women are less corrupt than men when it comes to politics and public office?
I want to answer in German, Jein. That means no or yes. We didn't have women in a big position in Ethiopia in this men-dominated politic position. There are very, very few women in politics. So I cannot say that women are not corrupted, or I don't want to give a fault for men also, they are corrupted. We have to give the time and to see if the women are not corrupted. So it's better to give the chance to the women and to see.
Time will tell.
Time will tell, yes.
Has there always been a place for strong female leaders in the Ethiopian culture?
Yes, especially in the 19th century. There are lots of famous women in Ethiopian society who fought, who participated in a war against the Italian invaders. But in the modern Ethiopian politics, it is very hard to participate even in normal life work with men. As I said to you, men are undermining women's ability. Even we women are not sure we can do more than men. So we have women that could do lots of things than men.
How was this news received by women and men in Ethiopia?
People are very surprised that in the modern Ethiopia, it is the first time to have women in the big position in politics, Ethiopian politics. Some of people are said it's good for women to be involved in politics or to be in minister. However, people showed also their doubt if they could do their work properly. But I myself very happy. I ask also myself if it's really functioning. I mean, in this men dominating Ethiopian politics, to have women as a defense minister, it's a very big news. Our new prime minister, Dr. Abiy Ahmed, is a reformer. He wants to show also the world that he can do. So I think it's good.
I was speaking to Azeb Tadese of DW's Amharic department.
And of course, in Ethiopia, there have been mixed reactions after this appointment of half the cabinet now being occupied by women. And here are some of those reactions.
It is good for women to be involved in politics or to be a minister. However, are these newly appointed women qualified or are they just there for representation? Have they even met the criteria? I have my own doubts about whether they will fulfill their obligations.
We need to give the new cabinet time. Only time will give us an answer. It shows us how well the cabinet members are performing and how much they can bring to the role. But if we always change the positions of the cabinet members, then they will be in trouble. I think we get a positive change.
A section of Ethiopians, they are reacting to the appointment of 50% of the cabinet there now being occupied by women. Now, it's interesting, Eunice, because 2 days after Ethiopia announced one of the world's few gender-balanced cabinets, Rwanda did the same. The country announced that women now make up half of the slimmed-down 26-seat cabinet.
Yeah, that's right. And there are now a handful of countries where women hold 50% of ministerial positions. Most of them are actually European. Now, DW's Andrew Wasike in Kenya had a chance to speak to Esther Pasaris. She's the Member of Parliament for Women's Representative for Nairobi, the capital city in Kenya. And she tells DW her role and the role of women leaders in Kenya.
Under the Woman Rep seat, I have the National Affirmative Action Fund, and it's about $1 million a year for the 17 constituencies, 85 wards. And that enables me to do projects with the populace, you know, the citizenry. And I cater for the most vulnerable groups. The leadership in a country like Kenya, where people are really, really poor, is determined by a lot of the things that a member of parliament can do for the people. Women constitute 50% of the population, and it's a shame that it's taken this long to get us there. And it's a shame that it's still being a discussion on whether we are a burden to the taxpayer, whether we really need as many women. And somehow it's been propagated and it's being absorbed and taken. We're seen as a burden, and yet men are not seen as a burden. And I really feel that having more leaders, women in Kenya, might actually steer the ship away from corruption, because we do have a lot of corruption. I mean, what is it about Kenya that has denied women that space? Is the patriarchal society that thinks that women's positions are in the house, rearing children and being obedient to their husbands, submissive. Okay, and I think we need to come out as women and make landmark decisions and also do so much more good. Kenya has a huge number of single mothers and widows, and I feel that we need more women in leadership so that we can stop this conversation of our tribe. You know, we have this phrase, what to wear to, you know, our people. We need to stop that and change that, and we need to fight corruption. It's a culture that has to stop.
While speaking to Pasaris, Andrew Wasike also got a chance to speak to Sakaja Johnson. He's the senator of Kenya's capital, Nairobi, as well. Just take a listen to this.
We are congratulating the Prime Minister of Ethiopia for leading the way. He's a young, new leader who's taken the stage, and we hope that that's where we get as a country. Not only has he given those positions, 50-50 to women and to men, but key positions, you know. Many times you just find women have been given Ministry of Youth and Culture and not the key ones that have, you know, impact on the economy and for a country like Ethiopia, you know, defense and such key ministries. So that is the way to go, and we want more male champions to advance gender parity. It's a principle that we believe in. Of course, we're pushing for it. We support the two-third gender bill that is coming to the House soon. It's a constitutional amendment to make sure that we actually can achieve those numbers progressively, and in many other forms, you know, we do support that. Even my own office is 50% women, 50% men. That's the way I operate.
Kenyan Senator Sakaja Johnson there saying that even in his office, it's 50% men and 50% women. Yeah. So there's a big trend happening in Africa.
The 77%, join the debate.
And it's now time where you, the listener, get a chance to be part of the debate.
Right. And we take a look at the question of this week. And the question was that, are women less corrupt than men?
We asked this question also on our social media.
That's right. And we got a number of responses from you. Hussein Adams from Accra, Ghana, he says, some women are very corrupt. Just because some are not corrupt doesn't mean women are less prone to corruption.
And Didas here from Rwanda is saying, that is true. Women are less corrupt than men. I agree with what those both leaders have done in reshuffling their cabinets. Looks like people are deferring here when
yeah,
it comes
mixed,
to this
mixed sort of reactions. And Cindy Rodriguez, Honduras, says corruption doesn't have gender. It is about values. Women and men both must have awareness with public funds. That is why to consider with intelligence who we are selecting in public offices.
And Andrew also wrote to us. He's saying there are women who are even more corrupt than men. Corruption must be fought with both genders.
I sort of agree with Andrew. I don't know about you, Eunice, but I think that, I wouldn't say that women are more corrupt than men or men are more corrupt than women. I think corruption is just corruption. Whether it's perpetrated by women or men, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't choose gender. It doesn't choose age. It doesn't choose, you know, nationality. It's just a vice.
Yeah, you're right. I also think so. But somehow I feel like men tend to fall more into this corruption than women.
I'm not so sure about that. I mean, it just depends. Probably that's because also in most cases, it's the men who are in senior positions.
That's right.
That has been the case. Yeah. And so they are in a position to be corrupt. But all in all, I sort of agree with Cindy who says corruption doesn't have gender. It doesn't really choose.
It doesn't have gender because... I mean, it support the values, like also she's saying here. It's whether what you believe in and what you think is right. So if you are corrupt, it doesn't matter whether you're male or female, you will still be corrupt, whether you're in a leading position or whether you're not. So,
I mean, one thing I can applaud the Ethiopians and the Rwandans for doing is that they have given equality a chance in terms of now appointing, 50% of the seats for women and assigning 50% for the men. And that's progress, because before we used to have sometimes even 100% parliaments just completely full of men and there was no representation for women. So at least there I can say it's progress. Blasius Awonsang says it's good to see some of our African leaders discover the potentials that women have and are ready to harness it to better their respective countries. Way to go, Ethiopia and Rwanda.
Well, it's a good example that Ethiopia and Rwanda is making also for different African countries. And it's also an opportunity to give women a chance to show what they can do and how they can help in developing the African continent.
It is. It is a very good example. And in Accra, our correspondent Isaac Kalechi was in the streets asking people what they thought of this move in Ethiopia and in Rwanda. And this is what people there had to say.
Women are less corrupt because they are not given the opportunity to occupy certain positions in Ghana here. But if they are given those positions, they would probably involve themselves into those corrupt situations that most neighboring countries are facing. Yes.
I would say that women are kind of, less exposed. Men are more exposed than women, all right? So on that level, it will look like men will be more corrupt, kind of. You say But for the number of men who are in the system and what they do, I think it's fair to say that with time, as they get more exposure, they would equally be as corrupt as the men.
Of course, men are the most corrupt when it comes to power. I'm not saying this because I'm a woman, because when you go to some offices, you know, most men are in power in this, our society. When you go to most offices, especially in Africa, you get to see the men in power, and when you need their assistance, most of them demand for sex. Some, if they know, especially when you're a woman, and then you need a position or you need help from them, they demand sex. Some also demand money, especially from the men. As a woman in power, she is thinking of how to empower the other woman to make her to also get there. Let's take it for instance, when a woman is a president, she's going to talk more about how to empower women in society, how to create community, how to create empowerment, how to create opportunity for women to also get there. But men, trust me, most offices, out of 90% of them, they would demand something. Personally, I had an experience with men who, when you want a job or something, they demand to sleep with you before they even give you the job.
I have seen from our time and days where our mothers were managing resources and all that. You know, corruption has to do with public office and the abuse of it and all that. I'm sure the way our parents were managing the women, were managing certain things. If they have the opportunity to, it's likely they will do far better. And for me, my opinion is that we've tried the men, we've seen the corruption. So why not? Let's try the women and see what will happen.
I like that last comment from that guy in a crisis. Yeah, we've tried the men and they've not been very impressive so far. Let's try the women. Those were a section of Ghanaians in the capital, Accra, giving their take on this new latest trend of appointing 50% cabinet posts to women.
DW had a chance to speak to Ghanaian networker Flossie Manson, who champions the cause of Africa's women. She's the director of Shiro's Foundation, Shiro like hero, but Shiro, which recently had a forum in Liberia. Now, Manson said her organization was there to support any woman who wants to throw her head into the rank of leadership, and not just political, but also corporate. She said that changing the mentality of people might take time, but the conversation must continue. Let's take a listen to what she had to say.
The patriarchy of Africa, everybody thinks the man should be on top. Do you know how difficult it is to go into Nigeria, where the men are so strong and think a man should be the head? Of course, we are also having to deal with the churches, which say that the man is the head. How do you change that mentality? That doesn't happen today. So let's have the conversations. Let's see what we can change in small ways to make our lives better. If you show up many times for young girls and they start seeing it, it may not change in our lifetimes, but it's changing as we go along. There are more women jumping into politics. There are more women trying to run their own businesses and have power. That's what we're doing for now. Maybe we'll see the benefits in 5 years, but we have to keep talking.
That was Flossie Manson, Ghanaian networker, director of Shiro's Foundation. At least we can see that there are people who are out there to give women a chance to come into such positions.
I, for example, would not have imagined this happening, you know, recently, but we are seeing it happening now. And it's encouraging to witness, to be a part of history. Let me say that one. Well, we've now come to the end of this week's 77% show. You can listen to this entire show and previous editions by visiting dw.com/77.
Keep the debate going by visiting our Facebook page, DW Africa. Until next time, my name is Eunice Wanjiru.
And I'm Crispin Mwakideo. You've been good company as always. Until next time, bye for now.
With a smile and a star, she'll protect you like a child. That's a woman. She'll put a smile upon her face and take you to the higher place. So